out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 11th of February, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I'm guessing a lot of our listeners here are waiting for some comment on Huffpoop's doxing of Grandpa Lampshade, and I can let you know now that later on today there will be a 2.5 hour long program with Grandpa Lampshade talking about that article and what has happened to him since, and that will be on instead of Arian Britannia. So watch out for that in a few hours from now, being published at the site. And what I wanted to talk about today is this idea of facts being racist. Because most of the time when people discover the racial truths, or they discover the lies that we've been told about World War II, particularly about the non-existent gas chambers, people think, well, I must tell the world this. This is so wrong. I must speak out about this. And people think that because it's true, because it's factual, then it can't be racist. They don't understand that the concept of racism itself is basically just there to prevent people from speaking the truth. It means that our whole society today, the whole of modern society, is based upon a lie. If they can get you to say that black is white, blacks are the same as whites, men are the same as women, then they're getting us to lie about the most basic facts of reality. They're getting us to repeat untruths. Our eyes see one thing and our mouths speak another. And we're taught another. It's worse than the Emperor Wears No Clothes, where the emperor was traveling around on his carriage and he was completely naked and all his courtiers were saying, look at the wonderful clothes that our emperor is in. And this one little boy pointed out, well, he's actually naked. The emperor's new clothes are that he's naked. And this is worse than that, because this is the whole of reality that we are being told is the opposite of what it actually is. If they can get us to do this and get us to condemn our own people for speaking the truth, then that divides us. It divides our people and prevents us from mounting any resistance to it. The same as when they import non-whites into our society. Again, the reason for that is so that it divides us. And we can't make any resistance to what it is that is threatening us. And this is why Jews like to import other races into our society, because if it's just us and the Jews, they can very easily be identified. We can very easily organize along racial lines and it becomes us and them. But if they import non-whites into our society, then it's not us and them. It's lots of different thems. And it distracts. And the Jews end up looking like white people. That's another side to it. people don't really understand, a lot of people don't really understand why the Jews import Muslims into our societies when Muslims are against Jews. But that's the reason for it, because it splits up our society and prevents us from being able to organize along racial lines. And these facts that people discover, such as blacks being far more likely to commit violent crimes, they discover that and they think, well, something should be done about this. We should be concentrating on preventing blacks from doing this to one another. I mean, look at the rate of dead Negroes that we have in places like London. And then they say this, and then they're suddenly accused of being racist, and they realize that the left are after them. And this happened recently, or last year, there was somebody that discovered the amount of Jews that there were involved in our government, and they wanted to say this, and they organized a Brexit conference, and it was in their local area, and they wanted people to turn up, and they were going to have a talk exposing Jewish control and Jewish power. And they put their real name to this, and they were intimidated into having to stop this meeting because it was anti-Semitic and because it was racist. And yet he thought, well, this is the truth. How can it be racist or anti-Semitic? It's the truth. And that's what these laws are about trying to prevent. And this news story that I've got today is similar to this. It actually concerns the army. And it concerns the army treating black soldiers exactly the same as they would treat white soldiers. With white soldiers, if you're being trained, it's very likely that the superior officer will find something about you and concentrate on that. If you are from Ireland, you might be called Paddy, and they might be made jokes about you drinking Guinness. If you're from Wales, they call you Taffy. They might throw leeks at you. They might mention that you eat leeks all the time. If you've got a big nose, they might call you nosy. And nicknames like this, jokes like this, are really a sign of affection. When you're in general public life, it's a sign of affection if you are given a nickname. And in the army, they do this. They tease the privates to toughen them up, to give them self-discipline, to get them to realize that words don't actually mean anything and you're not actually harmed by words. You can't be harmed by words, especially not if you have self-belief and self-confidence, which is what the army is about providing. It's far more dangerous to be facing physical violence. If you can't handle a bit of teasing with words, then how are you going to hold up on the battlefield? And this case here was basically a black soldier who claims that his commanding officer was racist to him. And he's been given £500,000 in a payout for this. It's unbelievable. And this report actually comes from the Daily Mail. A black soldier who suffered a sustained campaign of racism, which left him feeling suicidal, has won £490,000 in compensation from the Ministry of Defence. How can people just making jokes about your background leave you feeling suicidal? You can't change your background. Why would you feel suicidal about it? Why would you care about it if it's your racial background? It can't possibly be changed. So there's no point in thinking that it's somehow your fault or that if you'd only done something differently, you wouldn't be being teased like this. It's ridiculous to end up feeling suicidal over something that you couldn't possibly have changed. And the people that are teased like this, they must know that. They must know that. I mean, this idea that it made him feel suicidal, I would suggest is just him saying that so that he can win money out of the army. The payout, believed to be a record for racial discrimination in the armed forces, has been won after a 6-year legal battle by Lance Corporal Inoke Momonakaya, a Fijian who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. You think about that, a 6-year legal battle, and he wins £500,000 in compensation. And how much do the soldiers win, or how much are the soldiers given in compensation when they lose an arm or a leg, or they get post-traumatic stress disorder? I don't think it's anything like £500,000, because you see them begging on the streets a lot of the time. They end up homeless. And this makes a mockery of people that are injured in battle, to pay out this money for somebody that claims that their ego was injured. That's all it is, basically. His ego was injured by his superior officer making jokes, and they were very light-hearted jokes. Last night, Lieutenant Corporal Momonkaya, 40, told the Mail on Sunday he had been left suicidal by a relentless campaign of racist bullying by fellow soldiers from the 2nd Battalion, Duke of Lancaster's Regiment. In one shocking incident in 2011, he and 5 fellow Fijian soldiers were cast as Taliban fighters for a Ministry of Defence training video due to the colour of their skin. A senior officer allegedly told them, "You guys must be feeling right at home wearing them dish-dash Arab robes. No one can tell the difference between you guys and the Taliban." And that's just a fact. If they've got dark skin, which they have when you look at the pictures, they do look exactly like Afghanistanis. They're a mixed race. They're a mixed race people. So, of course, they look like the guys that were in the Taliban. So what we have here is a senior officer basically making a light joke of the fact, which breaks down the barriers between authority and the people that are working for them. And this is the guy trying to break the ice and get on with these Fijian soldiers. It's not him being nasty to them. It's him making a gentle joke. It's not going to leave somebody feeling suicidal. And it's just a fact of reality that yes, they do. They've got brown skin. So yes, they do look like the Taliban. Apparently, that's a shocking incident. White soldiers played the role of British soldiers in the film, intended to help troops arriving in Afghanistan to spot clues that insurgents had planted roadside bombs. So this was an official Ministry of Defence video. Why shouldn't they use the brown-skinned soldiers to play the parts of the brown-skinned enemy? If you had white people playing it, if you have white people playing at being non-whites now, that's accused of racism. They're not allowed to wear blackface. We're not allowed to have actors that pretend to be non-white. So what is the difference? The Ministry of Defence can't win here, can they? If they had put white people in the role of Taliban, there would have been a lawsuit against them for not using non-white soldiers, and painting the white guys up in blackface and misappropriation and all the rest of it. They would have been sued for that. And now that they've put brown people in there, they've been sued for that as well. That's racist, for telling them that no one can tell the difference between them and the Taliban, which is a fact. They've got brown skin, so of course they look like the Taliban. White soldiers played the role of British soldiers in the film, intended to help troops arriving in Afghanistan to spot clues that insurgents had planted roadside bombs. For another scene, the Fijians were told to swim 500 yards across a lake. When Lieutenant Corporal Momonkaya, known as Momo, questioned the order, an officer said, "The reason they don't want to swim is because they are afraid of water, and black people don't swim. Have you ever seen a black Olympic swimmer?" Again, this is absolutely factual. Blacks don't swim. The reason why they don't swim is because they have a smaller chest cavity than white people, so that they don't hold so much air in their bodies, so they find it very difficult to float. On top of that, they also have heavier bones, they're much thicker bones than white people have, so their bone weight is a lot more. So they are weighed down in the water a lot more than white people are. And that's why you never see any black Olympic swimmers. And this because he says that they're black here, I mean, this is showing you that these were very, very dark-skinned Fijians. They look like Negroes. They do look like Negroes. So, of course, they did look like the Taliban. How can this be said that this is racist to be saying that? It's just a fact that blacks don't swim. Is it racist to say that blacks are better runners than white people? You rarely see a white person win the 100-meter sprint. Is it racist to say that? No, of course it's not racist to say that. But apparently it's racist to say that blacks aren't very good at swimming. And this is a fact. And listen to what this poor, dear snowflake Lieutenant Corporal Mamankaya said. "The racism left me wanting to kill myself. I was going to buy a rope. Today I am still undergoing psychological treatment and I may not be able to work again. It has left me suffering from a complex form of post-traumatic stress disorder." I mean, what an insult to people that have seen their best friends blown up by roadside bombs, or who have had to kill people on the battlefield and are suffering real post-traumatic stress. I mean, this guy's claiming he's got post-traumatic stress disorder because he was told that blacks aren't very good at swimming, which is a fact. Just look it up on the internet. It's a biological fact, and there's a reason for that. It's not because blacks are scared of water or blacks are lazy and don't want to learn how to swim. It's because they have great difficulty doing it because of their bodies. Their bodies are different to white people's bodies. Whoever it was, I guess this didn't have a jury there. It must have just been a politically correct magistrate that awarded this. And again, that's not a nasty thing to say. That's just joking. That's just a quip. When you're not just in the army, but when you're out with your friends or whatever, there's a lot of banter. And that's all that this is. The superiors are just bantering with the army here. And they're just treating these black guys exactly the same as if they were white. They would be mocking and joking and ridiculing white people. They would probably say that the white guys don't want to swim because they don't know how to. Would they like some armbands? Things like that. That's what goes on in the army. And as I say, this commanding officer was probably doing his best not to be racist, not to treat these black guys in any different way than he would be treating the white guys. And that means that he's going to mock and ridicule the black guys just as much as the white. And that's what you expect in the army. He was not being racist here. It's disgusting that he's been accused of racism and this has been upheld. This Mamankaya said, "It wasn't just me. Other Commonwealth soldiers in my unit were treated like second-class citizens. It was a disgrace and a stain on the reputation of the British Army." Exactly. He wasn't treating them as second-class citizens. He was treating them exactly the same as the white members of the army. That's what happens when you go in the army. You get mocked. You get ridiculed. The commanding officers joke with you. They might make you use a toothbrush to clean the flagstones if you don't do whatever it is that you're doing right. It's all a part of army life. If you take that out of army life, you're just going to end up with an army full of snowflakes, which is apparently what today's modern army wish to have the army made up from, if you look at the recruitment adverts that they're putting out. "Legal documents submitted to the High Court reveal the appalling racism suffered by Lieutenant Corporal Mamankaya, a father of four from Lytham, St. Anne's, Lancashire. A senior officer called him a black bastard and compared him to a child's black plastic figurine known as a troll doll." Bad language and swearing in the army goes together like the sea and surfboards. I mean, how that is not racist to be calling him a bastard. I'm sure the white blokes there got called a lot worse than a bastard. I mean, just recall, "It ain't half Hot Mum, they were, and the Sergeant Major and that, and all the swearing and the names that he would call his platoon. I mean, you would expect to be called a black bastard if you're black and you're in the army. You would expect this banter and this language to be used. Comparing him to a black plastic figurine known as a troll doll. Well, perhaps he did look like this. Do you think white people would be offended if somebody said, well, you look like one of these troll dolls and called him a troll doll? A white person wouldn't be offended at that. A white person would probably like the nickname because they would understand that it meant that it was a sign of affection. They might very well buy one of these troll dolls and use it as a mascot in their car because they look like it. They certainly wouldn't be taking offence at it. And they wouldn't expect the army to pay any attention at all if they were to complain about it. It's the last thing that they would expect the army to take it seriously, that a soldier is complaining because they were compared to a child's toy. Lieutenant Corporal Mumankaya said, "This doll was black and had frizzy hair and a big nose. It was very ugly." The Sergeant Major said to me, "Hey, Momo, look, we found you. It's got your nose and hair. It's your twin brother." And what's he saying here? Is he saying that Negroes don't have black skin, frizzy hair, and a big nose? They do. That's a perfect description of a Negro. And the fact that it was ugly, I mean, that's the joke. That's the whole point of the joke of this. This is just mild banter, mild joking with the black soldiers. And just imagine if all the black soldiers were like this in the army. And we've recently heard about one that was suing the army because the weather was cold. And the army didn't tell him that he should be wearing warm clothes because it was the winter. And these cases should just be thrown out of court. They're so ridiculous. When he said this, everyone in the platoon started laughing. Afterwards, he wrote my name on the doll and said it was the platoon's new mascot. He told me I should take the doll with me when I went on a training course outside the regiment. And that just shows you that this wasn't intended with any racism. I mean, he says here that the whole platoon started laughing, and he's earlier told us that there were plenty of other Commonwealth soldiers that were in the platoon. So there were plenty of other blacks in the platoon, and they all found this funny as well. And the guy was obviously liked, or they wouldn't be doing things like this. They wouldn't be playing these sort of jokes with him. If they had done this, he probably would have been suing the army and said, "Oh, they kept me out of everything. They wouldn't joke with me. They wouldn't let me take part in anything. They didn't call me a nickname. Everybody else got a nickname but me." They just want to complain all the time when really they should be eternally grateful for what the white man has done for them. He said this went way beyond a joke or army banter. It was very offensive and chipped away at my self-confidence. I went quiet and just stared at him. The Sergeant Major laughed at me, probably out of embarrassment because he knew he'd gone too far. Well, no, probably because he was expecting you to laugh with him. He was expecting you to take part in the joke. Maybe push your hair up in the air like a troll or do a troll dance or something. That's the way you respond to this sort of teasing. You don't say, "Oh, it chipped away at my self-confidence." I mean, what does this guy expect in the army? The whole point of it is to build up your self-confidence by constantly attacking it. That's the point of all the training that you get in the army, is character building. They're going to call you all the names under the sun. They're going to mock and ridicule you. And through that, you build up a strength of character so that you're going to be a useful soldier on the battlefield. How is this guy going to be a useful soldier on the battlefield when he can't even take a joke? He can't even take a joke. The platoon is obviously doing their best to make him feel part of it, and he's just refusing to accept it and say, "Oh, this is racist." I'm going to sue the army and get £500,000 out of them for making jokes. At his wit's end, Lieutenant Corporal Momonkaya reported his cruel treatment to the Service Complaints Commissioner, the internal army watchdog, but his case was dismissed, prompting him to begin legal action. Exactly. This case should have been thrown out. I mean, how this made it all the way to the High Court, I just don't know. I mean, this is just banter. This is just mild jokes from somebody that's doing it because they don't want to appear racist. They're obviously making a point of trying to get this guy to feel like he is part of the platoon. Is he saying that nobody else in the platoon was mocked or ridiculed? Reflecting on the impact of the abuse, Lieutenant Corporal Momonkaya, who was medically discharged in 2012 due to PTSD, said the battalion had been on a very difficult tour of Iraq in 2006 and 2007. We lost 9 soldiers. A lot of us who survived, myself included, were dealing with difficult memories. So what he's probably done here, he's been diagnosed with PTSD for losing these 9 soldiers, and then he's tried to say that, oh, it was actually these jokes that gave me the PTSD. It was the commanding officer making jokes about me. He said, I enlisted in 2005 and intended to serve for a full 24 years. The bullying cost me my career, hence why I had to sue the MOD. And this just should have been thrown out of court. You expect there to be teasing in the army. And the list that he has put here is just mild teasing. That's nothing to what people expect to be treated like in the army. The MOD said discrimination and bullying have no place in the armed forces and will not be tolerated. It would be inappropriate to comment on the details of a settlement. You know, if the army is going to accept things like this, then the British army is just done for. And you compare the Russian army and the people that they've got in the Russian army with the armies of the West that are inviting women in, saying that you can't make jokes about coloured members of the army like they are here, accepting transsexuals, advertising to snowflakes, crybabies, and Muslims. It's just absolutely ridiculous. These guys are supposed to be there to defend the country. They're supposed to be absolute hard nuts, the hardest of the hard. And if they can't take some gentle teasing, then they should never be in the army in the first place. I mean, this should have been picked up on before he was even accepted into the army, that he wasn't going to be of any use. But of course, they can't do that because they have diversity quotas. And they think that having as many different races in the army as possible is somehow going to be a strength for the army. It's not a strength for the army. It's just compensation claims waiting to happen, basically. We've got another similar story here of somebody telling the truth and then being persecuted for it. That concerns another protected minority. A mother was arrested in front of her children and locked up for 7 hours after referring to a transgender woman as a man online. Online. 3 officers detained Kate Scotto at her home before quizzing her at a police station about an argument with an activist on Twitter over so-called dead naming. The 38-year-old from Hitchin, Hertfordshire, had her photograph, DNA and fingerprints taken and remains under investigation. More than 2 months after her arrest on December the 1st, she has had neither her mobile phone or laptop returned, which she says is hampering her studies for a master's in forensic psychology. Now, what is this? Basically, she's had a debate with a trans activist online. She's pointed out a few home truths, and this trans activist has had her arrested because the trans activist can't handle the truth, basically. She obviously hasn't got, or he obviously hasn't got any way to rebut what this woman is saying. So instead, they just call for them to be silenced and arrested. Writing on online forum Mumsnet, Mrs. Scotto, who has also been served with a court order that bans her from referring to her accuser as a man, claimed, "I was arrested in my home by three officers with my autistic 10-year-old daughter and breastfed 20-month-old son present. I was then detained for 7 hours in a cell with no sanitary products, which I said I needed, before being interviewed, then later released under investigation. I was arrested for harassment and malicious communications because I called someone out and misgendered them on Twitter." She basically pointed out that this guy was originally a man, which is a fact. Confirming the arrest, Hertfordshire Police said, "We take all reports of malicious communications seriously. The case is the latest where police have been accused of being heavy-handed in dealing with people who go online to debate gender issues." Sitcom writer Graham Lynan was given a verbal harassment warning by West Yorkshire Police after transgender activist Stephanie Hayden reported him for referring to her by her previous names and pronouns on Twitter. And this is going on while we've got the highest rate of violent crime ever known in this country. More stabbings in London than have ever happened before. And we got three police going around to arrest this mother because she won a debate with a trans activist on Twitter. It was complaints by Miss Hayden that led both to the arrest of and injunction against Mrs. Scotto. So this trans activist has got form in doing this. Anybody that debates them online and points out the facts of life, she calls for them to be arrested. High Court papers obtained by the Mail on Sunday detail how Mrs. Scotto is accused of a campaign of targeted harassment against Miss Hayden, allegedly motivated by her status as a transgender woman. The papers claim that as a toxic debate raged online over plans to allow people to self-identify as another gender, Mrs. Scotto tweeted defamatory messages about Miss Hayden. She is also alleged to have used accounts in two names to harass, defame and publish derogatory and defamatory tweets about Miss Hayden, including referring to her as a male, stating that she was racist, xenophobic, and a crook, and mocking her as a fake lawyer. So she's obviously brought up some facts and evidence that this trans activist really does not want to have to face. Mrs. Scotto denied harassing or defaming Miss Hayden, and said she holds a genuine and reasonable belief that a human cannot, practically speaking, change sex, which of course they can't. Either you have XY chromosomes or you have XX chromosomes, and that can't be changed. And that is what determines your sex, your gender. Deputy Judge Jason Coppell QC issued an interim injunction that bans her from posting any personal information about Miss Hayden on social media, referencing her as a man or linking her to her former male identity. So the facts are out there. The facts that this the person that is now calling themselves a woman, there is evidence out there to show that they were formerly a man. And they don't want to face that. They don't want to face that evidence. And it's quite shocking, really, because you think, you know, if you are a man and you're going out and you're on the dating scene, you expect a woman to be a woman. And you would be absolutely horrified if you were to find out that somebody that you'd been dating was originally was a man, basically, that had mutilated themselves and was pretending to be a woman. You would be absolutely shocked about that. You would want to know. And that's what's so sick about these trans is that they want to pretend that they didn't originally have the other sex's genitals. This person that's now calling themselves a woman, they don't want anybody to know that they formerly had a male identity. Then they're dishonest. They're dishonest. I mean, these trans, the law should be that they have to inform anybody that they are getting intimate with. They should have to inform them of the fact that they have changed their gender identity. They should have to tell them. It's so deceitful not to. You think of what it would do to somebody to realize that they'd been getting close to their own gender by mistake. I mean, that's the sort of thing that can cause people to kill themselves, realizing that they've done something like that. And instead of prosecuting these trannies that don't do that, the government are prosecuting the people that point this out, the people that warn the general public that this person is not a woman or this person is not a man. We really have turned reality on its head, and the state are punishing people for pointing out the truth about the world we live in, pointing out the facts and the evidence, pointing out what their eyes see and what their ears hear. We're being told, no, you can't speak about that. You must say what we tell you to about these people. And where is our society going to end up based on lies like that? And who would design a society based on lies like that? Certainly not genuine Christians, I can tell you that much for sure. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.